This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. We'll get back to your calls here. Whatever's on your mind on this Wednesday, 888-808-1019. Let's talk some Jets, BT. So they made some changes today, and I was walking in off of the subway, and actually it was Hoff who was texting us some of these changes this morning before we got ready for the show, and it made me excited. Now, I'm not all for the inexperience with Mujee and Aaron Glenn, but the fact that the Jets' new regime has made some changes here, this is according to Rich Cimini's tweet, head strength and conditioning coach Mike Nicolini, no longer with the team. He was hired by Sala. Phil Savage, who served as the interim GM, he will remain
consultant.
As a consultant. Dave Sochi, is that how you say it? You familiar with him?
Yeah, I know. I believe it's a soft C. Sochi,
senior director of football strategy, and Greg Nema, and I'm assuming the J is silent. N E J M E, whatever. Co-director of player personnel. They are out. They were with the Jets for 8 and 16 years, respectively. So I don't know much about those guys, other than obviously Phil Savage. But I think it's good to see the early signs where, even though the Jets would have a different head coach and GM over the years, they would still keep a lot of the same people in the building. If you really want to change the culture, like Lynn said, the people got to change. And this is a good start to that, where even Costello was tweeting, Brian Costello covers the Jets for the Post, he expects more changes after the Super Bowl.
Sal, listen, you could take those names, right? And you could do a little, you know, a little multiple choice quiz on social media and put those names that you just went out there, with the exception of Savage, right?
Yep.
And ask, you know, 1,000 Jet fans, are those Jet employees? Are they obscure musicians, or are they politicians? Nobody knows.
Right.
But your point is on. And yeah, I don't like seeing people lose their job. But if you have been in that building for too long, even if you don't know it, you will become too comfortable with losing, which means you have to leave.
Hey, Patino said this to you on the Unkillable podcast.
Good call. He did say that.
Flat out. I had to have tough conversations.
Yeah.
I met with him. You asked him, like, how do you decide? Meeting with them and deciphering who's in, who isn't, who's been a problem, who's negative and bringing in any kind. So now that's what I'm assuming Mujee and Glenn are doing here.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of trying to rebuild this thing and fix it finally once and for all.
You fumigate the joint. And the worst thing, and this is particularly bad, like in a... Yeah, and I remember that. I kind of referenced those Knicks with, you know, with Stephon Marbury and Isaiah, that crew. Like, it was very cancerous. There was a lot of locker room lawyers back then. They weren't all in. Now, that doesn't mean that there weren't guys on the team that had value. It's just that as a whole, they were just so used to losing, and it didn't work out. I'm not a big believer in coming into even if it's like a 10-year losing culture, and the Jets are 14, 15 years at this point, and just automatically assuming you have no value, you have no. I love the approach of, I'm going to look you in the eye, I want to see what you're about, I want to judge for myself, trust my own instincts, get intel from others.
Correct.
Okay?
People in the building.
Yeah, because you can still be an asset even though you're lumped in with a losing franchise. So the fact that he hasn't gotten rid of everybody, but he is selectively keeping a few on or reposit, like in the case of Savage, now a consultant, and basically just telling some others to straight up get lost. That's about time.
Who points fingers, who's complaining about others, all those different things.
Yep.
Work ethic and all that intel. I thought that was one of the better parts of your interview with Patino on the Unkillable Jets podcast. Check
Appreciate
that out.
That. Thanks,
well,
man.
But it does pertain to what we're talking about with the Jets. Now, the other part of this, we talked to Thomas Dimitroff yesterday. In case you missed it, check it out. Free Odyssey app. Go back, rewind, download the podcast version of it. Once we did get him on, BT, he was very transparent.
Once we got him on?
Yeah, he was talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers and
Tom,
what he would have done. It was interesting, though, to hear him say that he still believes Rodgers can play, but also that he would have... He didn't say it flat out, but insinuated very strongly that he would have moved on from Rodgers had he gotten the Jets job. So he believed Rodgers could still play, but better elsewhere because of just the vibes that Rodgers would have brought. What do you take from what Dimitroff said moving forward?
What he's saying, and I don't agree with this, but I certainly respect his opinion. Knows more than me about the NFL. Doesn't mean he's definitely right, though, but I just do think that is him saying it's a bad culture guy. Because there's two things you have to determine if you come into the Jets building. Number one, can you still play? Number two, do you enhance? Or are you a detriment to the overall culture and direction of the franchise? He told us straight up, I watched every play of the season. I think Aaron Rodgers can still play. And I think it would be best and go to a different team, different city, get 2-3 more years out of it. I think he can still play. Well, if you think he can still play and the Jets obviously need a quarterback, then why are you saying in the next sentence, which he did,
right,
that he thinks they should move on? What he's saying indirectly is he's not good for culture.
See, I don't know if I would interpret it that way.
What'd you take it as? That's the only way I could take it as.
That this culture or this situation would have been best without Rodgers and his big personality involved. I don't think Dimitroff thinks Rodgers, and now maybe he does. I don't know. We didn't get that flat out. I don't think he necessarily thinks he's a bad culture guy.
I didn't mean to imply that.
Yeah.
I meant,
you know,
I'm kind of more in alignment with you, but keep going.
Just saying that this situation hasn't worked. It's run its course. It's best if I'm going to fix this, and that's what Dimitroff said. He's a fixer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I believe Rodgers can still play, it would be best for this building and this Jets organization to start fresh with a new energy, new culture. That's the way I would say it.
Okay, I think that's a pretty good read, and I was kind of saying the same thing. Maybe I should have been more specific. I think then you see something, and again, so much of the radio row nonsense at the Super Bowl is a waste of time, as we've said all day, but then you stumble upon something that is occasionally meaningful. I know Jermaine Johnson was out there. I don't know who he was with. I honestly don't know.
I think Quinnen Williams as well.
Q as well. Yeah. And Q was definitely, and both to a man, they're like, this guy's amazing. I paraphrase, but we love him. He's elevated the entire building. He's all about winning. He's a great teammate. So whether it's Dimitroff parachuting from the outside or you and I espousing what we think is going on from the outside, don't you think those men know better?
Yes, but remember, Jermaine Johnson was a guy Rodgers lent his plane. So, I mean, there's
the Achilles surgery.
Yeah, now, I believe that Rodgers is an asset and could be a great teammate. I also understand what Dimitroff was saying, and I can see that side of things. Like, okay, is it worth it to bring Rodgers back, take the chance on him at his age being healthy and productive and try to win now and make the playoffs, which is what we want, right? Is it worth it to do that, which is not a guarantee that that's going to happen?
That's true.
Or would you rather just say, that could happen, sure, but I'd rather start fresh now? New GM, new head coach. There's some talent here still. Let's just clean everything up and not take... Like, I could also see how that could be a selling point as well.
I'm going to give you my answer just based on the Jets roster and their situation and not a concept in terms of coming in and changing things. I don't want to rebuild because I don't think they need to. Like with Adam Gase, rebuild. You know, Maccagnan, Idzik, you know, even Bowles to an extent. Certainly Sala when he came in. Rebuild. This is not a rebuild. Like, you're going to get rid of Rodgers and give the ball to either a middling bridge quarterback or a young kid and waste the last year under contract of Sauce and Garrett Wilson and Vera Tucker and all these guys making relative peanuts when they're about to get paid, Breece Hall? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I get it. I
don't like that.
Maybe we screwed up by that. We could have followed up by saying, okay, well, that's great, Thomas, but who would have been your quarterback? He alluded to saying if he had – I mean, this will give you some insight to it. It probably would have been a stopgap guy. Who that is really doesn't matter, because he said had he gotten the Tennessee job, another one that he interviewed for, mm-hmm. he was looking forward to trading out of that number one pick.
He did say that.
And trading back down. So that would tell you
which
that.
Which means he doesn't like the quarterbacks out there, correct. Which means he's probably not alone.
Well, which means that if you're not getting Rodgers and you're not trading up for a quarterback, you do the math. Like, is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be a stopgap quarterback? Like, it would have been Joey stopgap, which is really, I'm just saying.
Just not appealing with this roster. Other situations with the Jets and other teams around the NFL, I think it makes sense. Now, the Jets very well might do that. I don't want them to. Yeah. I don't.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Joe is in West Harrison. What's up, Joe?
Hey, gentlemen. It's been a couple weeks. Happy New Year's and all that to the both of you.
Happy St. Patty's Day, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, Happy New Year's. We're closer to St. Patty's Day. It's February. Come on. Is it February yet? Well, yeah, it is, right?
You know something? Good thing Jody Mack's on, because I will call you what I used to call you. The Irish Mafia, sports mafia.
I remember that. I slipped up on the language there, buddy.
Come on, you got to clean it up. He said he's a regular core. BT, shouldn't he know any better? Look, I get it. It happens. Just having a normal conversation. We appreciate the time to call, but we obviously can't air that. Mm-hmm. The point is, you'd like to have an experienced coach. He said something about Parcells, which made me think. Did you see the clip that Francesa was out there? Somebody, I guess, asked him.
Mike's at the Super. He went?
No. He was just, I think he was doing a podcast or whatever, his podcast, but somebody asked him a question. He was taking questions from listeners or whatever.
I didn't see this.
And it was, if you had a gun to your head.
Oh, I did. Reed or Parcells?
Yeah, one game to win.
Parcells.
Yeah, and not only, though, did Mike say Reed versus Parcells, he said there's only one coach in the history of the league that he would take over Parcells.
Let me guess.
Yeah.
In the history of the league, it's got to be Belichick.
No.
Okay. Lombardi. Is it Lombardi?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he went over all of them. He goes, the only one ever that I would ever take over Parcells in a one game, gun to my head, pull the trigger, whatever, bullet in a gun, the only one would be Lombardi. And, whoever. You can name all Walsh.
Landry.
Yeah, exactly.
Walsh.
Belichick. Yeah. He'd take Parcells over all of them except for Lombardi.
I can't say he's wrong. I love Parcells. Parcells is one of those figures, and I know you feel the same way. If there's a documentary or an article or a pod to inhale about Bill Parcells, I'm in.
Here's the one thing, though, that I was thinking about as I was listening to Mike
love him.
It's specific to Andy Reid, but you could also bring in the others. But I think it's more Reid, because don't you feel like, now, as a head coach, forget about defense, offense, all that. Head coach, Parcells to me, one of my favorites, if not my favorite. I don't know, I'm torn between him and Belichick. Probably favorite Parcells because he did it first,
yep.
did it with the Jets, whatever. But when you start thinking about the way the game has evolved and the offense is being so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid is by far a better offensive mind than Bill Parcells. Now, you could throw in Bill Walsh if you want and say mm-hmm. the offensive minds,
mm-hmm.
but where the game is today, Reid's offensive mind versus Bill, is it.
Oh, boy, that's.
You see what I'm saying?
There's no way to answer it.
I know, but I'm just.
But it's a beautiful, brilliant question. Fascinating.
If you're going back in the 90s or early 2000s when Parcells was reigning supreme, sure. With the sport evolving, also with the players now being the way that they are.
Yeah.
Maybe Reed wouldn't have been as successful 20, 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but would Bill be as successful with this evolved NFL?
Again, I love this stuff.
Yeah.
My answer is not that different from somebody saying, if Larry Bird was coming up today,
right?
Will Larry Bird be amazed? And my answer is, yeah, because he'd be exposed to the AAU. He'd have a little bit of a different game. He'd have more range. He'd have a different body. And I apply that same, even though that's physical, I apply the same mental prowess to a coach from back in the day coming up with the changes in coaching and the changing in the minds of the athletes. And I think the best ones adjust. So I think that Parcells would probably adjust a little bit better than Andy Reid, because I think at the end of the day, I think Bill's a better motivator than Andy Reid.
Right. So Bill would have
I'm going
guys
with Bill Parcells. Any question you ask me, my answer is Bill.
Okay, so I like Bill Parcells versus Reid for the exact reasons you said. I'm going to forget the offensive mind, just the coach like in my gut that I trust to not screw up the clock, have his team prepared, not beat himself. 1,000% I'd go Parcells over Andy Reid. Parcells versus Belichick. That's where I have a more difficult time head-to-head because, I mean, I've seen Belichick do it a lot more. Program builder, different story. Parcells has done it multiple spots, and he's built up the programs. One game, head-to-head, in-game tactician.
Parcells.
Yeah, I don't know if
I get it. I get the pushback. Don't forget, I know you know this, but let's bring it to the conversation. Parcells won a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback. Andy Reid doing that?
Yeah.
Belichick doing that? I saw Jeff Hostetler win a championship for Bill Parcells.
Is Parcells winning a championship without Bill Belichick as his coordinator?
I mean, we could play this rabbit hole game all day. Yeah. I don't know the answer.
The way that I would do it, and there is no right or wrong answer, it's a feel that you have, like, in my gut, Reid versus Parcells one game, I would trust a Parcells-built and coached team more than I would the offensive genius of Reid or go back to Bill Walsh, whatever. But I can't go against Bill Belichick.
Against one of them. Belichick?
One game, this Parcells coach team.
I get the stakes.
Belichick coach team.
I'm tuna.
Your life on the line.
Sashimi tuna.
I'm going.
I don't even need the rice.
I'm going Belichick.
Are you?
Yeah.
Now, hold on a second. Interesting. Let me throw this
it's
at
a
you,
tough
though.
Call. Near impossible, but I'm going Belichick.
It is, so that you got to look for differentiating characteristics, and I'm going to flip this to
a little
you.
Little Spygate situation, a little Deflategate. I mean,
I got you.
You got to do to win, man. Life is on the line here. Life is on the line. I don't care. Get suspended later. Deflate those. Football, do what you got to do.
I hear you. I got no problem with that, unless it's against my team. Okay, so you got to go lower because you got to look for more criteria that might shape the argument differently. And I go to this depth. So to me, and I'm not going to go, well, what did Belichick win without Tom Brady?
Right.
It's an extension of that. Has Andy Reid ever won a Super Bowl without an all-time great quarterback?
Andy Reid. No, because he's had Mahomes.
Exactly. Right. Has Bill Belichick ever won a Super Bowl without an all-time great quarterback?
As a head coach, no.
Has Bill Parcells? The answer is yes.
Well, don't be knocking Philby.
I'm not, but he's not an all-time. I love Phil. He's not an all-time quarterback. He's not. He's not.
Come on.
Oh, don't get me into the mud on this. Come on. Dude, I love Phil. Mm-hmm. He's not Montana. He's not. Don't make me
Phil.
Do this. We love Phil.
No, I get it.
Phil is a stud and a leader and a beast.
I get it.
Anyone with Hostetler.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't. But we're not talking about building up and winning a Super Bowl.
But that's all part of it.
That's fine. I'm talking about one game.
I know what you're saying.
It could be an exhibition
game. Bill Parcells won the one game with his backup.
Yeah, okay.
Let me ask you this, too. Another extension or maybe a different way to frame it.
But he'd be going head-to-head in this scenario.
I get it. Yeah, I understand.
Or I guess maybe not, but...
Well, to an extent, they would be sure.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking. I don't know if the question was laid out that exact way, but
there's no perfect way.
You had one game to win. Who were you picking?
Parcells. And by the way, collegiately, it's Patino and Calhoun second over Coach K and everybody else. But I'll throw this at you. Now, this I can't quantify. It's just a gut feel. When that team is coming out of the tunnel after the 7-hour pregame show finally ends and it's time to play the Super Bowl, which team do you think is going to be more ready to go? Parcells, Reid, or Belichick? I got Parcells again.
Yeah. I know what you're saying.
You coming to my side yet?
I get it. I know what you're saying, buddy. I like that argument.
Come on over to my team.
You know I'm a Parcells guy. You know that I'm a Parcells guy. I just think the X's and O's. I think Belichick is the most brilliant. Now, I wasn't around for Lombardi. I know about the history of it.
Neither was I.
Okay, but I'm just saying. Jeez. So we know about the history, but in my football experience and viewing and knowledge, I have a hard time believing anybody was a better in-game tactician, X's and O's, game planning, going into a singular game, maximizing what he has, exposing the weaknesses of what you have than Bill Belichick.
Now you're going to hate when I throw it back at you, but it's part of the conversation. And it's the low-hanging fruit. I try not to do this. I get it. Amazing tactician. I'm not denying that. Yeah. All-time great. Nothing. Where was the tactician stuff when he wasn't with Tom Brady? No, where was it?
Parcells,
Wolvin Hostetler, and Glenn Foley, and Vinny Testaverde, and Tony Romo.
Yeah, they beat the. You could just say, well, he won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, sure, but he also made Tom Brady, especially that first year where he won with his backup quarterback. Same thing. You just said
talk
okay,
about Matt Cassel?
No.
Talk about when Brady was the backup, the Bledsoe.
Yeah, he was the backup. Yeah, well. So Belichick did win a Super Bowl with his backup quarterback. Thank you for refreshing my memory.
Yeah, but the backup wound up going down as one of the all time. Jeff Hostetler, didn't he? Went to the Raiders for big money. He was a scrub.
Oh, still. I mean, but he turned him into that, and he did win a Super Bowl with his backup. And he beat the Rams. Forget about even that. He did beat the Rams without Brady being Brady. He was just okay at that point.
What's the score? 16-13?
Hey, look. Come on. Life on the line. You go Parcells. I'm not knocking it. I would go Belichick.
Okay.
We'll see which one of us would survive in that hypothetical. BT and Sal on the Fan. Back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. We got a lot of calls up here and different stuff. We'll get to all that. Have some fun here on this Wednesday before we say goodbye. But, BT.
By the way, this song never gets old.
I love that song.
It never gets old, this song.
The acoustic version is even better. Are you familiar with that one?
The ones that, like, they used to do that on MTV where they have, like, Nirvana would do that. Right. And, I like acoustic. I appreciate it, but I like the normal stuff more.
But for that particular song, plus the acoustic version is excellent. Also, Drive. I forget who sings that.
R.E.M.
Incubus, maybe?
R.E.M. sings Drive.
Yeah, anyway, but there was a version of that I like better, too, the acoustic version. All right, before we get back to the calls here, congratulations are in order today. Aaron Judge. Judge and his wife, Samantha, they gave birth to Nora Rose, their daughter, right there. I'm reading this from Yankee Videos of SNY. Now, I just want to make sure who is handling the baby. Let's make sure that Aaron has,
God, don't be an ass.
We don't want him to drop anything. You know what I'm saying? By the way, I was thinking about this. I'm just making sure. I mean, you know.
Yeah, so the baby was just born today?
I guess so. I'm just seeing this now.
Because if that's the case, the nurse in the hospital is touching them. Remember, the first 3 days, you don't do anything. You're just sleeping on the couch. It's like, oh, this is easy. And then you leave. Yeah. You're like, well, we got to do everything?
You think the nurse was like, Aaron, let me get this. Or you want to hold the baby? Be sure. Use two hands. Here you go. Two hands on there. I was thinking about this because we was going to bust Booney's chops about losing if St. John's lost last night and be like, oh, well, whatever. But Booney's been a winner. Aaron Booney's, because you're a big Eagles fan. Right, so he went to the two games for the Eagles in the postseason so far, 2-0.
True.
He won everything in the American League last year. The only things Boone has lost in the last, several months, the World Series.
And
the head-to-head card game.
That's right, man. BT and Sal. BT and Sal.
He's normally a winner. Just the World Series got him a little bit. All right, a little bump in the road maybe next year.
Yeah.
The card game.
That's right.
And
that's
by the way, mine was like, that was a blowout.
You crushed him. You almost ran a perfect pack.
I know. I'm annoyed because Ron Reynolds, I probably should have gotten. I've seen that card a million times.
The
as
old
kid.
Mets catcher. Yeah. He was a scrub. But what, he played 2 years?
I know. Only because I've seen that card a million times. But it just shows you how irrelevant he was. Uh-huh. I've seen it and I've dismissed it my entire life, for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
I've seen it and just dismissed it. I was like, oh, who the hell is this? I was thinking R.J. Reynolds of the Pirates.
I know that's who you were thinking.
I went back and watched your battle with him.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch. Even again, just on YouTube, they put it up there in case you missed it. Check it out. Pull your card, BT and Sal versus Aaron Boone. And Booney was into it, which made it great.
He was.
He could have had you. He screwed up. He beat himself.
Could have.
Just like game five. Costly errors there. He could have.
Didn't. Now, what we got to do is, I'm telling you this now, and I don't say I got a bone to pick with you, but you got to trust me with certain things.
Okay.
You just have to trust me with certain. You always say, like, if there's something to get, I'm pretty good at that.
You're very good.
I got a little carton in me like when it comes to that stuff. We got to get stuff. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. So I'm saying.
You're forward in that regard.
I am. But I'm also smart. I know how to play it.
So a lot of times it produces results.
Well, yeah. So what I was saying to Sal was before Aaron Boone came in, I said, listen, we got to, everything that we do, every bet that we do on the show, whether it's football picks, whether it's our picks for the Mets and the Yankees, which, by the way, you still got to pay that off. There's a lot of, everything has a bet attached to it. So why would we have Aaron Boone in and not do a bet? And we didn't do a bet, but what I was saying, again, before Booty came in to Sal, hey, we gotta play for something. If you and I win, maybe we get a little batting practice at the stadium. Maybe we do a little long toss. Maybe we get to meet the guys and be a bat boy for the day. I don't know, ball boy.
Right.
You're like, no. And then we have Boone in studio, and he's right next to me, 2 feet to my right. I say the same thing to you, and he's like, nah, stop, stop. And Booney, if you actually watch it,
he says, we'll figure something
he's
out.
He's like, we'll figure something out, know, which means we're going to go and play ball at Yankee Stadium. Let me handle this.
I know, but you're putting, putting him on the spot. Here's why.
I'm not.
Full transparency. Here's why I didn't think
that. You don't
want
to embarrass yourself because you can't play ball
No. Because we already won. Getting him in here to play the game with us, we won. I got what I wanted out of the deal. I don't need to have catch at Yankee Stadium or take batting practice. I don't know if I want to do that necessarily. Could it be fun digitally? Sure.
Like, you don't want to do that? Wait a second. You go play in a charity softball game on turf that's like concrete where I got hurt.
I'm not a Yankee.
McPherson got hurt. Yeah, have you ever had a catch on a major league field?
No, I
okay.
have not. I've been on a major league field. I've never had a catch.
I know you've been on the field. I'm sure, yeah. But... I mean,
no,
so,
a catch, that would be fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, maybe you think the guy that I've been kissing his ass for months, King Cullen, would invite me out. Throw out the first pitch or something or have a catch. I mean, no, I get it. It would be. No, I'm just kidding.
But really,
right. The DMs are open. It would be cool. But my point was like, we already won.
And I understand
you were getting stressed about the game. I don't care if he even beat me in the game. Like, obviously, I wanted to win as a competitor, but I'm thinking, this is great for the radio show. It's fun. We got the
Oh, we cool. won. Like, no. we already... See, but this is where we're splintering off into a different direction. Yeah. We're on the same page. Mission one was to get him in here, have some fun, and develop a relationship with Aaron.
Right.
That was honestly our main objective.
Right.
It was broached by him to our coworkers. Right. Like, he likes the show. He likes the segment.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of likes what we do. And listen, he's not coming in here to hang out with us and park his own car and drive down from Connecticut if he thought we're a couple of idiots. Right. Like, he enjoys the show. He might think we're nuts, but he likes the show.
He did request that I pay him for the congestion price.
Yeah. He actually asked me about parking. I'm like, they tap into some of that big Yankee guy. Yeah. I know you're getting an extension at some point.
About the
big
Johnny's?
Boy, so yeah. No, about when he came in here.
Oh, really?
And the Johnny's, yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait, what do you say down here? About
He's
parking?
Like, oh, where should I park? I'm like, yeah, find a garage, dude. They're paying millions of dollars.
He's asking you about parking. I told him where to go parking.
Or maybe it was for the Johnnies then when he asked me that. You know what it was? My bad. Okay. I mixed the stream there. Yeah.
I was going to say, okay.
So, of course, the objective was to establish a rapport. And by the way, this now will lead to, hey, if we're out of bounds, meaning I don't mean if he says something that he doesn't, if we say something that he doesn't like, but if we say something factually wrong, off the record, shoot us a text and correct us. Hey, this guy's banged up. That's why I didn't go. So that'll make our radio show better. We're on the same page. Okay, now we have a relationship with the Yankees manager. But if you could get more on the back end, you knucklehead. Come on.
What are you going to give us? You can put us in uniform?
Yes.
Oh, good God. All right, BT.
Dude, I'm going to try to be a bat boy, man. Or a ball boy, not a bat boy. Ball man. Instead of ball boy. Ball man. Yeah, what do you mean?
Come on.
Come on, what? I'll sit on the stool. I'll shave the line drives, and we'll have a call today.
I mean, I don't even know if he's got that much pull.
No, he's the manager of the Yankees. He can do whatever we want.
He's gonna. I mean, I don't know if does Cashman and Fornos give him a sheet like, okay, here's who you could use as the bat boy today.
Hey, listen, Cashman. Hey, Cash. Cashman gets in the way, then.
BT, this guy, this, you know what?
Hey, Cashman came on with us, too.
No, that's true. We had some fun with him. Yes, right, BT did. And Sal, all the fails. Get back to the calls here. A little mixed board. There was one I wanted to get to before we get back to the football stuff. Yeah, Annabelle's in Bridgeport. Want to talk about the Alonzo stuff. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? I of the Tiger want to call you.
Okay.
Eye of the Tiger, man. I'm glad you're doing okay. I called the other day. And
I just got it. It took me a second there. Eye of the Tiger. I get it. Eye surgery. Ha ha. Yeah. Make fun of me. Yeah, good.
No. I'm not making fun of you.
Good.
I'm glad you're okay. Let me tell you, this situation where Peter Alonso has gone too far, brother, this needs to be resolved quickly. Going to spring training.
You want him back or no?
I would like him back. And let me tell you why I would like him back. But not on the long term. Because you know what? Steve Cohen is going to get Vladimir Guerrero here. And Stern is working on that. Yeah. We're not going to give you...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the timeline of everything, Annabelle. And thank you for the call. And we appreciate you checking in. I am over it. Once the Mets said, this is pre-Cohen talking about at Amazing Day about how it's exhausting. Once the Mets made their, I don't even want to say pivot because I don't know if it was a full pivot, clearly, where Cohen said, you know, anything's possible. You never say no. But they had an offer that they felt was strong for Alonso. He turned it down, this after turning one down 2 years ago, turning down this recent one. And they felt, as an organization, he was going to sign elsewhere, meaning that they weren't going to do much better. If he doesn't like this, I don't know what to tell you. He's probably going to sign elsewhere. We're moving on. At that point, I myself moved on. And I think the Mets should have moved on at that point because they basically said that they did. Like, I was taking direction from them. They're saying they're moving on. Move on. Once you decide to move on in any relationship, I don't care what analogy you want to use, once you decide to move on, it's never going to be the same, even if you come back together. That was my whole point yesterday. It wasn't about finding a better replacement.
Yeah.
It was about they made the decision to move on. Clearly, he wasn't happy with whatever they were going to offer, which means even if you do reconcile, it's not going to make him happy. And that's why I would move. I think it's best for Pete. And I think it's best for the Mets if they were to just move on.
But it's too loose of an example when you get into the relationship stuff. And I know what you mean. Like, all right, if you get back together with an ex and you know that you shouldn't get married, but it's like, all right, we're both getting older. We both want to maybe have kids and we don't have any prospects. All right, let's get married. You know, but you know you don't love each other or there's deeper issues, whatever. All right, it's probably not going to be a good marriage. You don't need a marriage with Pete. You just need a year or two of production. So it's not...
I get it.
It's just a loose... I don't know. I know what you mean. I don't feel the same way.
Just
hit 35 bombs and have a better chance to win more games this year.
Which, by the way, could happen.
Yeah,
but either way, it is exhausting at this point. Eddie's in Westchester talking about the head coaches. What's up, Eddie?
How you doing, Sal? How you doing, BT?
Good. What's up, Eddie?
What's up, Ed?
Good. Going back to the coaches that you got there. You old guys always leave out one coach in the early 80s, mid 80s, early 90s, you had Joe Gibbs. that man had three different quarterbacks that took him and won Super Bowls.
Yeah, but it was only with one team.
I'd take him over Parcells anytime.
Ah, not me. Joe was great, but not me. And listen, that's your opinion. I respect it. And one of the things, now Bill didn't win with the Jets or the Patriots. He got there with the Pats and lost. But like the allure, the beauty, the magic of Parcells was the ability to, you know, not just elevate from moribund to competitive, but elevate from moribund to championship level-ish. And, you know, I don't want to penalize Gibbs because he was in one spot, just like I don't want to penalize, well, Belichick was in two. But I stretched the boundaries of what's appealing to me because Parcells did it everywhere.
Right.
Parcells the best,
well,
man.
But if you're asking me, like, if the question were, if you had one coach that you needed your life on the line to build a program.
Parcells.
Yeah. Me, that would be my answer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what city, what the circumstances are. So you got to build this program up in the next 3 years or else.
Okay.
I'm going Bill Parcells. One game?
Yeah.
I'm going Bill Belichick.
Why wouldn't you go Coughlin if we're going on the one game thing?
I don't think. I don't think that Tom Coughlin is on the level of the in-game tactician that Bill Belichick is.
Neither do I, but I'm just kind of following up on the one game thing.
You could throw out Joe Gibbs, sure. I mean, I would not go with Joe Gibbs myself. Now, I mean, is that lack of familiarity? I know he had great success with Washington. A lot of it was before my time.
Yeah, and I was young as I was. I'd have to see some of his, like, how down were his down years. I know he's an old-timer. Listen, I will give the last caller this, definitely. And again, Gibbs, that's his call. I respect it. But when you think about, like, the great, like, the names that are first, Lombardi, Parcells, Belichick, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Don Shula, you know, a few others, obviously. Andy Reid, of course, at this point. Like, I will grant him this. You don't really hear Joe Gibbs. Nobody really throws Joe Gibbs in there. And I don't know why.
I mean, I'm just looking
really
at Parcells'
record. You have Parcells
did,
or you have Gibbs?
I did have Gibbs before. Right,
let me get Gibbs.
I got
Gibbs.
I got Gibbs here. You can pull Parcells if you want.
No, I'm just looking at Parcells.
Yeah, right. We know he built up the program, so I was just looking at losing season.
What do you got with Gibbs? How many years there? I know we came back, but how many years?
16 years.
Okay, how many sub 500 seasons?
Well, that's what I was looking at. Well, remember, we came back in the 2000s.
That was a disaster.
I'm going to start with, I'll go back to the 80s, the beginning.
Okay.
Sub 500.
Mm-hmm.
1988, 7-9.
Okay.
2004, 6-10.
Oh, that's a long gap.
2006, 5-11.
All right, so the set 2.0 just didn't work out.
3-16.
All right, 3-16. How many did he have? A lot of. I think the answer is no. I felt like it was more like 11-12. Did
four
he have any 14 wins? Did he have a 14-2 year in there?
He had one 14-2 year in 1983. They won the NFC.
Yes,
but lost the Super Bowl.
Yep. Did he have a 13 win?
Who was that Super Bowl 83? Was that who they lose to there?
83. Hold on. When did Miami get there?
I was
going to
say, was it Miami?
Hold on.
No. That was Marino's rookie year, right?
Hold on. Oh God, I got every wire is crossing right now. Who am I missing here? Jeez. It wasn't the Dolphins.
Anyway.
I mean, I can do process of elimination. Whatever.
All right, so that was his.
Raiders, thank you. That was the Raiders, yes.
Okay, 83. So the then Redskins lost to the Raiders. 14-2. He had a 12-4. He had another 14-2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, what was his playoff record?
Do I have that somewhere? Let's see.
Should be at the bottom.
24-17. Excuse me. I'm sorry. 17-7. 24 games.
17-7?
17-7 in the playoffs.
I got to tell you. You know, I'm not saying that, listen, no matter what we do, it's Parcells for me and it's Belichick for you.
Well, I think that's a lot of the point. It's like you just can't, in our minds, do any better. Doesn't mean you can't be as good.
Yeah.
Hard to best Belichick or Parcells.
It's almost impossible. But nobody mentions Gibbs. Again, there's 8, 9, 10 other names that I never mentioned Gibbs.
I don't know if nobody
you never mentioned
him.
Yeah. And we mention older ones. I bring up Chuck Knoll. I bring up Tom Landry. I bring up Lombardi.
Bill Walsh.
Yeah. I you know, it's a good call. He does get a little shortchanged. I don't know the reason, but he does.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back. Finish up on the phones. 888-808-1019.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Let's say Dallas would have called the Knicks. And let's say Ian Begley, instead of being a star on SNY, he's running the Knicks. And they said, all right, let's go. We want to bring back Brunson to Dallas straight up for Doncic. Would you have done that from a Knicks perspective? Just curious.
Straight up. Because you are changing everything.
I know.
You're talking about Jalen Brunson because he started the thing. That's tough, man.
Well, I said it's not that tough for me. I said no. It's not that tough for us.
Yeah, right. I think I would probably lean that way only because you're losing everything you've built if he goes out. He's the foundation. He started this thing swinging in the right direction. It would just, I think you'd ruin the locker room. But I will say this, if I was running the Knicks, I would give monthly press conferences to the
That is true, man. They don't say anything.
That was Ian Begley of SNY joining us earlier. He happens to be right about that. I would love to hear more from Leon Russell. Like, look, ultimately, we don't care as long as they win.
Yep.
But it would be nice to hear more from the Knicks front office and all that stuff. A big game, by the way. This is a nice weekend basketball-wise. Friday night, we got UConn and St. John's.
Oh, yeah, up in stores.
And Saturday, we got Knicks-Celtics.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a big game Saturday night. Knicks are starting to hear, because I even heard Josh Hart responding. Oh, people talking about we haven't had a... Was it Hart or Towns? One of those two I saw the other night talking about we haven't had a benchmark win. And mm-hmm. Or people talking about maybe statement
they beat Denver twice.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I guess the criticism is, you know, they haven't had the statement win.
Okay.
Saturday's going to be a...
Well, let's go. Let's
I know, but unfortunately, you know, Begley even told us earlier, in case you missed it, check out on the free Odyssey app, OG not expected to play before the All-Star break, so you got that. Yeah, we're gonna
He's
be
out weeks, dude. He's out weeks. They're going to err on the side of caution. They should. He's
I know,
out
but
weeks.
But then doesn't that make you...
He's a slow healer, too.
I know. You worry about Mitchell Robinson, but then doesn't that make you less excited about the Celtics game? Because I could just say, well, yeah, of course they're going to lose to the Celtics. They're not healthy. Like, they can't beat them. You could argue they might not be able to beat them if they were fully healthy.
Well, I know what you mean, but... No, because maybe Brunson has... Man, Brunson's starting to rev things up again.
Yeah,
maybe
I know.
Brunson goes for 45, and maybe Bridges, I don't want to say shuts down Tatum, but neutralizes him a bit, and maybe it's one of those efforts that we're like, oh, okay, here we go.
This is definitely a longer conversation. Maybe we could do this tomorrow or certainly next week, you know, after the Super Bowl, and we'll recap it on Monday. But off of what we were talking about the other day about Brunson, and I'm saying, like, I feel like the Knicks are lacking something. Now, I would never knock Brunson because I love him, but he is a smaller player,
yep.
And he's not a great shooter necessarily. He attacks the rim like mm-hmm. a beast, mm-hmm. great footwork, all that. He could shoot, but that's not his game. You know, not that Jimmy Butler type is what we were saying. And the Knicks don't really have that. And then, of course, Brunson goes nuts and hitting game winners left and right and taking over. But don't you worry about him being able to do that in the postseason against teams that are going to try to shut him down defensively?
No, because he adjusted to what Philly was doing defensively a year ago. Mm. He went bonkers against Indy until he was hurt. But listen, Sal, and it is a deeper conversation, you're right. But there's a reason why there's been so few NBA players all time that are under, you know, that 6'1"-ish frame.
Right.
You know, you got an Isaiah Thomas, you've got an Allen Iverson who didn't win a championship, obviously lost yep. to the Lakers, as you know. Stockton, but he had Malone. There's just not, it's hard to impact the game in the finals or that degree.
Which is why I love the Carl Anthony Towns trade. But I guess I personally, like when we asked Ian earlier what's missing from this Knicks team, and he gave his answer, you can check it out. And he also said that basically I wouldn't expect any radical changes here coming up at the trade deadline
this year. Say that.
Basically, they're going to dump Jericho Sims, keep Mitchell Robinson, maybe add a bench piece if they could, but it's going to be more about moving on from Jericho Sims and still keeping flexibility for next offseason while taking a run at it this year. But it's why I love the Carl Anthony Towns trade, because I really do think that with a healthy Mitchell Robinson back, he's going to fortify, you know, rim protection and defense. And then I want Bridges or Anunoby to step up. I think Bridges has the longest way to go from where he is now to mm-hmm. where he could be. Like, OG is kind of what he is.
Yeah.
Towns is what he is. I think Bridges can be a difference maker, and right now he's just been another guy.
Well, I think he's been better than another guy. I guess I know what you mean to an extent. I would say maybe McBride actually has the highest to go. I know what you mean. Let me say this, and again, a million ways to discuss the Knicks, and we will.
Yeah.
But if Carl Anthony Towns plays, say, in the Eastern Conference Finals the way he did last year in the Western Conference Finals, he would get absolutely roasted here. I'm not saying he's going to.
No, I know.
He did not play well.
All right, that does it for us today. By the way, keep it tuned for SNY Tonight special show. We have Jose Reyes in studio.
Jose Reyes.
On Baseball Night in New York. Looking forward to talking to him. All right, thanks to Dope. Thanks to Connor Green, who's in for Hop. Hop feel better. Hopefully he's back with us tomorrow. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Back at it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.